This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Florida is home to hundreds of agricultural products, from blueberries and strawberries to tropical fish, sugar, milk, cheese, and, most notably, oranges. However, for nearly two decades, Florida's flagship product has been dealing with a number of challenges. First, per capita consumption of orange juice has declined by nearly 50% to less than 3 gallons per person. Over this same time, imports as a share of total orange juice consumption has surged to nearly 50%. Then, beginning in 2005, Florida orange growers have been fighting a devastating pathogen that causes citrus greening disease. Citrus greening ultimately results in irregularities in the size and color of the orange and causes a bitter flavor. Since 2005, when the disease first reached Florida, and combined with these other challenges, orange utilization has declined by more than 50%. Now, on the back of Hurricane Irma in early September, the 2018 Florida orange crop is projected by USDA to be the smallest in more than 70 years, down more than 20% from the 2017 crop size at 54 million boxes. Florida represents more than 50% of total U.S. orange utilization, and as a result, total U.S. orange utilization is projected to be down 16% from 2017 at 101.7 million boxes. Farmers and ranchers in the wildfire-stricken part of California are just beginning to assess damages. California Farm Bureau spokesperson Dave Kranz explained that the state is learning more about the damage as those who were evacuated are returning to the area. Kranz says it's a very mixed picture and the picture is still being filled in. We know that there are wineries and vineyards that have burned, but a lot of them have been spared. And it will take some time for everybody to get back and figure out exactly what has happened. An international exchange opportunity for young adults ages 19 and older has openings for its 2018 program. The IFYE Association of the USA Incorporated, formerly known as the International 4-H Youth Exchange, offers 6- and 3-month intensive cultural experiences for participants. Participants will depart in June and stay with rural host families where they will become part of the family and participate in farming, community, and other activities of the region. Applications are now being accepted. Those selected for the program will experience the cultures of up to 2 countries in the 6-month program. Find out more by visiting www.ifyeusa.org and click on Exchange Program or contact Alan Lambert, Program Director, at alanelambert@ifyeusa.org. AFBF and 7 other major farm groups on Tuesday hailed introduction of bipartisan legislation to improve the Agriculture Risk Coverage Program, an important component of the Federal Agricultural Safety Net for Farmers. Senators Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota and Joni Ernst of Iowa are sponsors. Among other things, the bill would prioritize use of data collected from the Agriculture Department's Risk Management Agency to calculate crop yields. The measure also would use data from the county in which a farm is located when calculating yields, rather than allowing farmers to use yield data from their administrative counties if they farm in more than one county. It also would allow State Farm Service Agency committees to adjust yield estimates when results are inexplicably different compared to neighboring counties within the same state or adjacent counties across state lines. AFBF has announced the top 10 teams, 4 finalists, and 6 best-in-show winners in the 2018 Farm Bureau Rural Entrepreneurship Challenge. The final 4 teams, chosen for 471 applicants, were each awarded $15,000 and will advance to the next phase of the challenge. The final 4 are GeoAir of Tennessee, an ag tech entry, Hawk Knob of West Virginia, craft beverage entry, Swine Tech Incorporated of Iowa, ag tech entry, and Wild Valley Farms of Utah, local product entry. 6 best-in-show winners were announced and will each be awarded $10,000 in startup funds. Best Agritourism Startup, Homegrown Hideaways, Certified Kitchen of Kentucky. Best Craft Beverage Startup, Waynesville Soda Jerks of North Carolina. Best Ag Technology Startup, Sail Ring of Iowa. Best Farm to Table Startup, Grassroots Farmers Cooperative of Arkansas. Best Local Product Startup, Hidden Pastures Goat Dairy of New York. And Best Farm Startup, Pangea Plants Herb Farm of North Carolina. The final four teams will compete in a live competition at AFBF's 99th Annual Convention in Nashville on January 7th to win the Farm Bureau Entrepreneur of the Year Award and an additional $15,000 for a total of $30,000 in prize money chosen by judges, and the People's Choice Award and an additional $10,000 for a total of $25,000 in prize money chosen by public vote. As an agricultural group that represents producers, we don't regularly discuss food and beverage manufacturing beyond recognizing that the sector provides important customers for our products. However, given the importance of food manufacturing to the U.S. economy and our trade with North American Free Trade Agreement partners, more discussion is warranted. The Grocery Manufacturers Association, the trade association that represents the makers of the world's favorite food, beverage, and consumer products, divides the grocery manufacturing industry into three primary sectors: beverage, food and household products manufacturing. This discussion will lean on GMA's definitions, though we exclude household paper products, soaps, and toilet preparations that GMA includes. For the purpose of this discussion, we define food and non-alcoholic beverage manufacturing with the following North American industry classification codes: 31211, 31212-9, and 3111. Using this definition, the recently released 2015 Annual Survey of Manufacturers reveals that U.S. food and beverage manufacturers shipped more than $825.6 billion in product in 2015. Of this impressive amount, a small share, about 5%, was exported globally. However, 5% of such a large number results in total exports of nearly $39 billion. A survey released by California Farm Bureau Federation shows immigration policy still harms agriculture in the same capacity as seen in a similar survey in 2012. The informal survey showed that more than half of responding farmers had experienced employee shortages during the past year. CFBF President Paul Wenger talked about how the worker shortage impacts farm operations in a recent interview. He said the bottom line is we have a broke immigration system. Farmers and ranchers are having to make decisions not based on the markets, but based on the availability of labor. He also noted that the shortage in farm labor means a more competitive situation for farmers to source workers. U.S. agricultural groups, AFBF included, have for decades drawn attention to a growing labor challenge in our industry. The H-2A visa program, which went into effect 25 years ago, was intended to be a part of the solution to solving employers' labor needs. New data released by the Labor Department reveals that the demand for labor is stronger than ever. The Immigration and Nationality Act of 1952 introduced a temporary unskilled worker category, the H-2 category, for foreign agricultural and non-agricultural workers who were coming to the U.S. to perform temporary work. The Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986 subdivided this category into two subcategories: the H-2A, an uncapped category for temporary agricultural workers, and H-2B, a capped category for non-agricultural fields. After the law was signed into effect, several years passed during which time regulations were written and an eligible countries list was established. Finally, in 1992, first-year visas were issued and the program began in earnest. Changes to those regulations have been made over the years, but for the most part, this is the same program that is in effect today. In the early years after the H-2 category was split, visas issued under the H-2B program significantly surpassed the H-2A program. In fact, this was the case in all of the first 17 years of the programs except one. However, in 2009, visas issued under the H-2A program exceeded the H-2B program and have never looked back. AFBF Pat Wolf was quoted in a Financial Times article on the potential impact of certain tax reforms on agriculture. The Financial Times noted, among a number of issues for farmers are possible limits on their ability to deduct interest tax against tax bills. Wolf, AFBF Senior Congressional Relations Director and Tax Specialist, explained that farmers and ranchers depend largely on debt to operate their farm or ranch businesses. She said agriculture is almost completely debt financed. It is push, push, push to hold on to the interest deduction. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.